of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Good morning. It is the 8th of January, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared's there at the controls. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Are we hiding a puppy or a cat anywhere out there?
No. Unfortunately, Jim has not called in.
Okay. Oh, our pet of the week.
Pet of the week. Okay.
Well, usually Friday mornings we have our pet of the week. We do partner with Haven Humane.
Yeah. 10 years.
Well, you know, things.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's
kind of. Things happen.
I think I'm going to go find a homeless cat and bring him in and talk about it. Okay. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Carl. It's going to be a great day. We've got some wonderful guests on today, but let me give you a forecast. Currently, 45 degrees. If you look outside, yes, it is wet. Today will be showers, likely then mostly sunny with a high of 54. Overnight lows tonight with 38. Tomorrow calls for mostly sunny with a high near 60 and overnight lows of 39, as well as Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 60. Sunday night, partly cloudy, 39. And as we progress through the week, we'll just give you up till Tuesday. Partly sunny on Monday and Tuesday. Looks like there's a slight chance of rain again. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. They are located in Anderson, owned by the Kinney family. Again, a veteran-owned local company, Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793 for all your propane needs. So, So I open up my email this morning, and first thing I see is my girlfriend from Greece saying that she's watching from Greece, from the island of Ikaria. My girlfriend has been there for, I think, 15 years, lives on the top of the mountain there, and, of course, they're watching their news feed. And she said, I think it's absolutely horrible what's happening in the capital.
Well, it's over, though.
Well,
you know, when I hear these things, like, it was a coup attempt by right-wing terrorists, you know? I've been in coup attempts. I mean, I've been there when these things go on. And, yes, it was stupid. It was uncalled for to go into Congress. But, you know, I've been reading some of the comments, and they said we were up at the steps and the guards attempting to pacify us just let us go through. And when I went in there, I mean, when I observed it, people walking through, you know, when I picture a coup and a radical attempt by terrorists to take over a building, they don't usually stay inside the gold, you know, those gold ropes when you're walking through, taking photos, taking selfies of themselves, you know, all those things. That's not my idea of, and but perhaps that's based on my experience. The people who have never seen it, who haven't been in a riot in Portland or Chicago or Seattle, where people are throwing fire bombs at your car and all this, you know, that to me seems to be a lot more violent. Now, I'm not condoning it at all. What they did was wrong. However, there, you know, what kind of coup attempt, massive terrorist organization, when the curfew starts at 6 p.m., they go home. You know, this is like a coup in a small town in Ecuador, where the police are on one side and the protesters are on the other. They have lunch together. They know each other, and then they protest.
Well, let's not forget people were killed.
Let's not forget that somebody was killed in this, whatever you want to put a name on it for. Well, it wasn't. It was insurrection in the sense of they didn't obey the laws. They went in. They took over the, which, again, I'm saying is wrong. It shouldn't have happened. It was stupid. But it wasn't this all-out violent coup attempt, you know, that people are talking about. Yes, there was somebody killed. It was tragic. A veteran, a lady, an unarmed woman who, and I don't know all the facts, so I'm not going to talk about it, but the, you know, if there, you know, I've heard that there was a window broken, she started to climb through, she got shot, and she died. And the question is, the use of deadly force. Somebody brought up a point that said that, hey, you had our government officials in our leadership. Was there a shoot to kill? Well, law enforcement officers are taught to shoot to kill. They're not taught to shoot to wound. They're not taught that way. They are aiming center mass. So the question is, did the law enforcement officer, the one person that fired, did he feel the threat was that bad? Did he feel his life was in danger? Jared.
I just want to say, I just read this morning that one of the Capitol Police died.
I did too. But it's like they said, four killed in, what happened that day. But you turn out one was shot and three had medical emergencies, like heart attacks and that. So I don't know what if he died from an attack, I hope.
I think it said it was like a stroke, but I'm not sure that all the information's out there yet.
But it wasn't like he was shot or hit with a brick or something like that. And I'm not poo-pooing that at all. Don't misunderstand me. But I think that if you have a real coup, that you're going to stay there. They didn't stay. Even when kids took over offices on campus, they stayed there. But that didn't happen. Again, I'm not condoning it at all. But let's kind of let the facts come in. I'm really interested to see what happened when the lady, Ms. Babbitt from San Diego was killed. It could have been an accidental discharge as far as that goes. But, they've never faced anything like this before where people actually entered Congress.
Well, it'd be interesting to hear from somebody who's actually in the crowd. Because what's happening, and this is not to give it less of the tragedy and or more of the tragedy. This is not sensationalism. What I'm about to say is that I would love to hear a first count of you from somebody who was actually in the crowd and what they saw and what they heard. Now, in a crowd. Anytime you've been in a crowd, mayhem could break at any time. It could be a concert. It could be where you're standing in line and there's so much. And this is the most heated political in my lifetime ever that I've ever experienced. You just never know when something's going to go off. Somebody's going to go off.
Well, Congressman Lamoff is going to be on at 8:00, and I'm really looking forward, as I'm sure many people are, to listening to his take on this because he was in there when it happened. One of my friends said, Carl, this was people on, breaking into offices at college and, all this. We didn't do that. Well, I reminded her that one day at Central Washington State College, we had Sweetie Days, which was just a great time. Everybody, it was in spring. And it was in conjunction with the rodeo and all this stuff. That upper campus and lower campus got into a water fight with water balloons, buckets of water, all that kind of stuff. Was there violence? No. But there was the total campus somehow got involved with it and it ended up with stretching a big irrigation hose across the only through road that went through Ellensburg, connecting Spokane with Seattle. It was a big tug of war. Well, it stopped traffic for like an hour. Police were coming in and saying, disperse, disperse, and they were getting hit with water balloons and buckets of water, and they got back in their cars and they drove away. No violence, but I guess you could have said that was a riot because nobody listened to the authorities. We were just out there, and then after one of the...
But you didn't have pipe bombs. And here's
No, it wasn't that, but you could say that, okay, we disobeyed, we shut down the road. It wasn't violent. And when one of the administration came out with a camera, the place dispersed. Okay. That's all they had to do was bring a camera out.
Well, I wanted to say one more thing before we take a break. And again, this is just information I'm hearing or seeing from a news outlet. And that is that there were pipe bombs dispersed, which my automatic trigger that came from inside of me was this a planned terrorist moment. If you have a pipe bomb at the Democratic office and a pipe bomb at the Republican office, this is...
That's serious.
It's mayhem, and that is almost as if like a bombing of something.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's for both. It's both political parties, and this may have been like they thought it was a Trump rally, but the fact is that when I heard that this morning, I'm just telling you about what my natural inside of me instinct thought. There's something deeper here than. When you plant pipe bombs at both locations, something else is going on here.
Yeah, there was. There is.
It's distraction for some other things that are going on.
Who knows,
or about to go on.
Who knows what else was being planned there by fringe groups. That fringe right groups, fringe left groups. You know, to say that
and who all even the knows people, if they live in America.
All those people that came into the Capitol were all Trump people. I don't know. I can't prove that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
the crowd is the crowd.
So Antifa goes in and the Proud Boys go in and other people go in. We don't know. The only thing I do know is this. They left and then they went to, they dispersed.
Hmm.
It's, to me, if it's going to be a coup in this true sense of this, you stay.
That sounds organized to me.
Well, I don't even think it was organized. Mm. I think when they got up to the steps of the Capitol, there was a surge forward, and then they just got in. And once they got in, people just went in.
There was a hooded guy with a backpack, or it could have been a hooded woman. Who knows? That they took a picture of today. It was on the news. And that they think that's the person that planted the pipe bomb.
Well,
now, that's not somebody waiting in line.
No, we're talking about two separate things.
Yes.
Okay, we got to take a break. You know, the one thing was, after everything that's been happening the last 2 days.
The last 12 months.
You know what? Frankly, 2021, you are not impressing me yet. If we had a 7-day, guarantee that, okay,
grace
if we
period.
Didn't like it, we can send you, we can
grace
return
period,
it.
Please.
I'm returning 2021. I'm returning it.
You saw that meme I sent you yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is great. Here's the Joker. Turning around and giving a tour. It says 2020 giving a tour to 2021, and 2021 was the clown from It.
I think it's Pennywise.
Oh, God. Here, well, let me show you what it's really like here.
So, we really believe in the power of restorative sleep. And, we talk about this, we sleep on it, and we advertise for them because we really believe in the power of the sleep number bed. And every night we change our settings, and it depends on the stress of the day. So I've been back into Pilates. I'm trying to work on my body. And part of having really good strength and health, and I believe I'm working on trying to get my mental clarity after being like 6 months of off, not well last year, sleep is essential for all and everything to heal and to be better. So we just highly recommend the sleep number bed. Last night, my sleep number setting was back down to 40.
Yeah, my sleep number setting was 55 last night. I had it at 0 on Tuesday because I needed to be, like feeling
100%.
Like, no, I was at 0, so I kind of felt like I was behind, being cuddled there, besides by you. It is proven quality sleep, and make quality sleep your New Year's resolution. And New Year's needs something, new resolution here. And now you can save up to $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or on sleepnumber.com. But go down to our Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. You won't be sorry. You're going to see why Sleep Number has been rated number 1 and 2 by Consumer Reports in 2 different categories. That's Sleep Number. We'll be right back.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello.
wait for summer. Gear up for some fun right here in our own backyard. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to play our Gear Up 2021 Swipe to Win promotion. Drawings Thursdays at 6, 7, 8, and 9 p.m. Plus, all winners receive bonus entries into the final drawings on January 28th. $15,000 up for grabs. February 25th, two motorcycles and a Can-Am quad. And March 25th, a Yamaha ski boat. From Redding, Yamaha ski. More drawings, more winners, more fun. WinRiver.com.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Redding Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Redding Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Redding Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the...
Good morning, we've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And okay. you.
Okay,
good morning. Good morning.
How could you not be happy when you hear that? Thank you so much. Thank you to our producer.
Yeah, because usually I have him singing Beer for My Horses, you know, and we'll hang him in my tall oak tree. Ah, let's go to Good Morning here. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Organization, certified by the Medicare and Medicaid Services as one of the highest rated hospitals in America. This is Shasta Regional Medical Center. I mean, it choked me up, you know. That's a lot of stuff to be good at. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. I'm sorry. Hey, we're with Dr. Richard Mooney, and he's from the Women's Healthcare Association of Redding. If I probably wrote that down wrong. Am I close?
Good morning, Dr. Mooney.
Good morning. Good morning. And also the SRT Center for Continence and Pelvic Wellness.
Correct.
And I just found out during our break here that there's only, I believe you said 1,500?
Less than 1,500.
Less than 1,500 doctors that have your specialty.
Correct. Correct.
In the United States.
Correct.
Not just in, you know, California.
There's 89 in California.
Wow. Right.
So, Dr. Mooney, there is a term. It's you've been fellowship trained in urogynecology. And there, can you explain the term? I know that you were, once I got it all in my mind's eye, I realized, oh, okay, that when women lose their, the pelvic area and
support,
mm-hmm. a lot of times those parts can fall out.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're doing, and I think it's something that we talk about. I have no problem, and I never have any problem bringing people on. I'm not shy of talking about parts because we all have parts.
Absolutely. So, it's something we really need to talk about more because it's a problem that affects at least 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 women, particularly after the menopause. That's a lot of people, and a lot of people who are suffering in silence because they don't feel that they can talk about it, or they think that's a normal part of aging or having children. It's common, but it's not normal.
Okay, so going to buy diapers on a regular basis after 50 is just not a normal thing.
That's one of the things I tell my patients. They go to one of the chain drugstores, and there's entire permanent aisles devoted to female protective garments. It's a multi-billion dollar business, and it's really just covering the problem up. It's not a matter of, it's not treating it at all.
Well, what are the, you know, doctor, when you, you have to get into this, you know, this specialty. Right. I mean, you have to, what was it that led you to the specialty?
Well, it's a problem that that affects only women predominantly, I was in an OBGYN residency in Houston, Texas at Baylor, and
Baylor boy.
Yes, and this was an issue that was just emerging as far as becoming a board certified subspecialty of both OBGYN and urology. One of the issues we had with these problems is that these are multi-organ problems. They involve bladder, uterus, vagina, rectum. And there were different people who worked in those areas, such as general surgeons in the rectal area, urologists in the bladder, and OBGYNs handling the reproductive organs. So there were too many cooks in the kitchen.
And you are a certified OBGYN.
Correct.
All right. So.
And that's to become a urogynecologist, you can either become boarded in general OBGYN or urology, and then do a subspecialty fellowship to become board certified in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery, or urogynecology for short.
Okay. What? So you in your practice, mm-hmm. How many years did you practice so up to 2017, or was it I have three things coming out of my mouth at once. But the first is, when did you decide that you wanted to become a gynecologist? Because my brother's a doctor too. You have a calling, and you find out somewhere, this is what I want to do.
That's a great question. And something I would encourage people who are interested in medicine to not make any decisions about what you want to do. When I went to medical school, I was absolutely sure I did not want to be a pediatrician or an OBGYN. So you find out soon that the specialty chooses you. You don't choose the specialty.
Okay. I do not want to be up to my wrist in babies the rest of my life.
And that's what I'm doing.
Did I clean that one up?
Okay. So that's what you thought. And then what changed for you?
Well, in medical school, after you do your first 2 years of general book work kind of things, your last 2 years are all clinical. And so you rotate through the major specialties. And when I rotated through OBGYN, I loved it. I love taking care of women. And it's something that's, I guess you can call it a calling. I don't know.
I was going to say, it would probably be that.
No, absolutely.
It would have to be that.
It's like, what kind of musician are you going to be? I mean, it's a field. You just don't know what.
It finds you.
Yeah, it finds you. Yeah. So where did you do your gynecology residency?
At Baylor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, but when you were doing your rotations.
Yes.
Was that also at Houston?
Yes, it was. I was at, my medical school was the University of Texas at Houston. And Baylor and UT Houston are right across the street from each other. The Houston Medical Center is, last time I heard, the largest medical center in the world. It has its own tram system and everything else. There's multiple medical schools. It's a huge, huge place. It's a wonderful place to train. So when I was rotating through OBGYN, I was in multiple hospitals and got to see multiple different things that go on in the specialty. But I remember I was sitting across the table from a gynecologist who's probably my age now. And he looked at me and he says, "You're going to be a gynecologist."
Oh, my wow. Gosh.
And he just laughed. And I said,
"You saw the light in your eyes."
Yeah. So that was neat.
Well, it was either that or babies, you know. So, hey, okay, we got to take a quick break.
Stay with us because we're going to cover a bunch on the next break. I mean, after this break.
We're here with Dr. Richard Mooney, who is the Women's Healthcare Associates of Reading and also the SRG Center for Continence and Pelvic Wellness. And this is something that many women face, especially as they, well, I guess it's
one
all
and
ages.
Four, two and one four.
Like 25 to 50% of the women face this. So it's an interesting topic because this is something that's not being treated. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. You know, it's not just price, even though they have very competitive prices. It's customer service. You know, it's your family's well-being, their health, and even safety, just to make sure that propane keeps arriving at your site on time with no problems. And Shasta Gas Propane has built a reputation for this, of being there when they need them to provide extra care, extra service. And this is Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned and operated, they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. It's about, 39 degrees out there. It's raining, and I don't think it's going to get much better today. We'll be right back.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier before I was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Don't give up on your tomorrow. At Shasta College, we're offering more 8-week compressed classes, more online support, and more financial aid to help with life, not just textbooks and tuition. Whether it's online or in person, we'll continue to teach, encourage, and inspire, just like we have for over 70 years. Spring classes start January 19th. Enroll at shastacollege.edu. Start your tomorrow today.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. Three to get ready, now go, cat, go.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5.
I grew up with that stuff.
And 1460 AM, Talk Radio with Carl and the Bot. Time is 7:35 in the morning here on the 8th of January. And this portion of the show is being brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. And Judy Maxwell and her team have been doing this since 1993, helping families, seniors, veterans, and business owners. You're not going to find a better representative than Judy Maxwell and her team. You can give them a call at 221-0441. They're located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We have our insurance with Judy and have been nothing but pleased with that. We're here with Dr. Richard Mooney, who is with the Women's Healthcare Associates of Reading and the
Assurity.
Assurity. Okay. You feel the I on the end of it. Yeah. Screwed me up. Assurity Center for Continence and Pelvic Wellness. And we're talking about that this affects problems with continence. Affects
your lifestyle.
Right. Well, absolutely. 25 to 50% of the women. And we talked about how Dr. Mooney got into this and his background in healthcare. But if a woman... You were saying it happens if there's, you know, laughter or, you know, it could be things like this.
Coughing.
Sure.
But when should somebody worry about this?
Well, it's a great question. It's not a disease that's going to compromise your health until the end stages, typically. This is a quality of life issue, but it's a significant issue. I mean, if your life is planned around bathrooms, if you can't leave the house, if you're afraid to wear clothing, it's one of the number one reasons women quit their gym memberships. These are significant issues, and while it's not cancer, it's a major life issue for many women, and it just gets worse. It almost never gets better on its own.
So we typically hear about this, and I'm speaking personally. You hear about this from women who've been pregnant, and then yes, afterwards, they never really quite get back where they were as far as their bladder is right. Concerned. But let's just talk about maybe somebody who's never had kids, mm-hmm, and or they've had several kids. What are the symptoms besides urgency? Mm-hmm. Coughing, sneezing, and then, urinating while you in your pants and you're out to lunch or whatever. What are some of the other symptoms?
Well, a big issue that brings a lot of women in is getting up all night, going to the bathroom. If you're not sleeping because you're in the bathroom all night with a bladder that's overactive, it affects the rest of your life. So these issues occur at different times in women's lives. We tend to see what we call stress incontinence, which is the leaking with coughing, sneezing, jumping, laughing, things that cause the intra-abdominal pressure to, mm-hmm, increase a little bit when you tighten your tummy muscles. That's usually seen more predominantly in ladies prior to menopause. After the menopause, urge incontinence becomes the major issue, which is all the other things we've been talking about. They can't get to the bathroom soon enough, frequency, burning sometimes, pelvic pressure, things like that. All of those things can occur with or without pelvic support issues, that is, the organs dropping down. This is what we believe now is a genetic issue. So women who've never had babies can have these problems too.
So what do you do when you're the reconstructive, is it going in and tightening, or what happens in the procedure?
Well, what we're trying to do actually is to do what we can do without doing surgery first.
Okay.
So the evaluation is basically listening to the person, mm-hmm. to listen to the lady who comes in and says, this is what's bothering me. I mean, this is a hard thing for a lot of ladies to come in to talk about because it's kind of taboo. You don't talk about these things outside of your close circles. And there's not a lot of good information in those circles sometimes. And so it's important to understand that there's places that you can go. You can talk to your physicians. You can talk to your nurse practitioner. You can talk to your PAs that you see and say, listen, this is something that's bothering me. Because oftentimes if women don't ask, the physicians and healthcare providers seeing them don't know that it's occurring. So it's important, first of all, to let your doctors know that you're having this problem.
Right.
Afterwards, when a patient comes to see me, they've already got the problem, obviously. They're there because there's a problem. So our goal is, first of all, to make sure that we understand what's bothering them and to do an adequate assessment, not only of just the female pelvic organs, but also to look at their entire medical history, because some of these other medical problems can play a large role in this. Diabetes, hypertension, obesity, all these things can play roles in incontinence issues as well. And look at the function of the bladder and the other pelvic organs, not only from an exam standpoint, but also from a testing standpoint, and get a good idea of exactly what's going on before we make any recommendations at all.
Well, I just think that's fantastic. I mean, I'm looking at your site, and I recommend everybody to, first of all, I typed in your name, mm-hmm. and then it talked about your, again, give us your location, if somebody is listening today or knows of somebody that's experiencing this, mm-hmm. This is treatable.
It is. It's not something you have to live with. And again, as we talked about a little bit earlier, the reason there's such large amounts of products available without going to see a physician is it's a barrier for a lot of women to feel comfortable talking about this. So they'd rather go to the drugstore or Costco mm-hmm. or anyplace else and buy these diapers and just cover it up.
Yeah, we've had what's it called when you Danuka?
Dr. Danuka.
And you have a
colonoscopy.
We did a colonoscopy, not on the air actually, but before mm-hmm. and after. Sure. And we just thought, it's parts, and we all have them, and we have to pay attention to our bodies because Absolutely. If we want to live a long, healthy life, we need to talk about it.
Right. And again, some of these problems become more prominent as we get older, and we're now living much longer after the midlife change for men and women. So all of us need to be paying a little more attention to our health care, because the things that we ignore in our 40s and 50s become real issues in our 60s and 70s. Mm.
Well, okay, so what else do we have to add to this wonderful rest of the segment with Dr. Mooney?
Well, you know what? One of the things I'd like to bring out is that this is, there's actually even a pelvic awareness month, or is that the wrong term?
No, that's correct.
Yeah. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And was that last month? Or
it was November.
November. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've been trying to get Dr. Mooney on, for a month or so, and you were out of town, then we were out of town, and then my scheduling prowess is, not good. But I'm really glad you're on here, because this is something that people don't even want to talk about. Do you find that, many women are have this problem, and it can be treated in different ways before surgery.
Correct, correct. And, we have a very nice physical therapist in town, Dr. Brandy Moffitt, who does a wonderful job with pelvic floor physical therapy, and that's a wonderful option for a lot of ladies. It's a way to start addressing the issue.
The Kegels.
Kegels. Yes. Well, it's advanced Kegels, yes. but Brandy does a great job. There are resources available, mm-hmm. and you don't need a referral to see us. Oftentimes people think, well, I have to go see my doctor. I have to go through this whole process.
Oh.
You don't have to do that. You can call our office directly if you'd like to see us. But I would strongly encourage you to not delay these issues. Talk to your doctors about it.
They're not going to get any better.
They don't get better.
It just keeps getting worse. Mm. And, you're right, but it's not just for women, the incontinence issues.
Right.
It's also men. They're actually doing, they do TV commercials on it. Mm-hmm. Where guys are running around in their
diapers.
All right. Well, Dr. Mooney does what we're here to talk about, though.
I know,
women.
But is it what? He's also a doctor that studies this, and he seems like a brilliant man. For men, when they have this? I mean, is there treatment for
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. That's mostly a urologist. Urogynecologists obviously just deal with women.
Right.
But urologists deal with this on a daily basis and are fantastic at doing this. So really, men, absolutely, do not delay talking to your doctors about it.
And that could be probably, and they'll start out with an exercise program, I'm sure, or not, or men are different.
Though. Well, it's not in my area of expertise, but no. but oftentimes men's issues are related to prostate problems.
Oh,
and
okay.
So that can be cancer and everything. So I would strongly encourage men who are having these issues, difficulty emptying your bladder, incontinence issues, or anything related to your bladder or mm-hmm. Genital structures, is to make sure you see a urologist as soon as you can.
All right.
Yeah.
Dr. Richard Mooney is with the Women's Healthcare Associates of Reading and the Ashurti Center for Continence and Pelvic Wellness. And you don't need to see your doctor before you come in. You don't need a referral, I should say, before you come in. And this is something that many women face. And once it starts, it doesn't get any better.
Correct.
So probably having the doctor, I'm not going to say check under the hood, but... check under the hood there to see if it can be helped. Is there I know I'm taking longer here, but surgery.
Mm-hmm.
What is how do you handle this with surgery?
Well, our goal in surgery is
to
try
reach to that.
Right. The goal in surgery is really almost only for pelvic organ prolapse, that is things dropping down. And what we're trying to do is restore normal anatomy with the use of as little artificial products as possible.
Okay.
So native, what we call native tissue repairs, that is using your own tissues to help repair these structures, is the mainstay of my surgical work.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, Dr. Mooney, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And, this is, I had no idea. You see these because if it doesn't touch you, you don't really realize it, and it's jokes and all this stuff, and but people don't have to do this. They can, without getting near a surgical room, can solve the problems.
Absolutely.
So again, a urogynecologist specializing in urogynecology, and it's Dr. Mooney. So you may look up again. Your surgery center where you practice is called
the Ashurti Center for Continence and Pelvic Wellness.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Very enlightening.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. And we're going to look up Dr. Red Duke.
Red Duke.
You know what? In Houston. And the stories we heard during the break were just great and ones we couldn't really even share. But Dr. Mooney, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Happy New Year. Let's just,
Have a great year.
Have a great day. Let's have a great year. Okay. We'll be right back after these messages.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl Wunderbach. It is 45 degrees out there. I'm sorry I misspoke. I said 39. You know, there's a big difference between 39 and 45, and I just got slapped around by two of the people I care the most about them. So it's 45, rain showers today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And Four Winds Jewelry is bringing us a segment. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. Start off your year with a, you know, a little gift to yourself, since 2021 has not started out like, you know, gangbusters. You may say, okay, I think I'm just going to go make myself feel better. And Rebecca and Henry are going to help you do that down at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Dr. Mooney was trying to get out of here, and we held him back. Mm-hmm. Because during the break, we, you know, when you talk to people and you realize, well, you know, that's important. People need to know. Now, one of the things you said is your offices are your, I guess, I don't know if it'd be exam rooms or what, but your offices are set up differently because of the subject matter.
True. As we talked about a little bit before, it's a difficult thing to especially initiate a conversation about. Once people feel comfortable and ladies are in a setting where they feel supported and listened to, the conversations are easy. But it's getting over that initial hump of just saying, hey, let's sit down and talk about this. And so all of our exam rooms, we have 10 of them, are themed. There's a purse room, a shoe room. There's no medical equipment out. It's not the intimidating office setting. I don't wear a white coat. I dress just the way I am now.
Oh, cool.
So I just sit down and talk with you.
So you kind of almost like psychiatrist or psychologist meets...
Well, there's a large emotional component to this. You know, obviously, quality of life issues affect how we feel about ourselves and our body images and how we feel about, you know, interactions with people we see on the time, all the time. So those barriers have to at least be softened to allow us to give the woman a chance to talk, tell her story.
While you were going through and become, you know, your fellowship training with urogynecology, is this... something that your the 1500 or the other ones in the United States have they talked about the fact that this is a way to, or is this, did you come up with this idea, the way that you practice in your facility? Is it different than, or is this kind of the new way of like, hey, let's sit down and have a conversation. This is like, we're talking about your body. This is your home. because we're going to, you know, was that you?
No. I wish I could take credit for that. No. I learned from some very, very smart people. I'm in the minority in my subspecialty by a large number. I'm a male. Most of the people who do what I do are female. And so I've learned from my colleagues, how to be softer and kinder and listen. This is not something that's naturally taught to us, that when we're growing up as young men, we're playing football, we're doing guy things. So to learn to take, I mean, it's our responsibility to make ourselves accessible and kind and gentle for the patients we serve.
Well, you know, this kind of thing, you know, we have, in the military, we have different strategies.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, of course, is the frontal assault.
Mm-hmm.
But one that you can say has been used very successfully is indirect approach.
Mm-hmm.
And what women do, I believe, is they're masters of the indirect approach, which kind of gets it. You succeed, but you don't come straight on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me as that's what you are, what you're talking about is, you know, okay, tell me all about this. You know, people are going to tighten up.
Well, yes. And again, you know, someone's coming to you with a problem that really is very important to her and has probably been dismissed by many people in her life. So that needs to stop that when they walk in that mm-hmm. door. They need to know that they're safe, that there's a place for them that's made just for them.
And we can fix this.
And we can work on this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is the success rate? Real high.
It's one of the most gratifying things about what we do. People ask me sometimes, why do you do what you do? It sounds like a terrible problem and a terrible thing to deal with. Actually, the patients are almost always happy, and you've helped them and changed their lives, and they're not sick. They're not dying. There's many of my colleagues who deal with these types of issues, and I don't have that at all. I have a wonderful practice. I absolutely love what I do. It's one of the most gratifying things I've ever done.
Do you know that decades ago,
mm-hmm.
I first read about this, but it wasn't in a medical textbook. It was in the book The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. And about this.
Well, because I wanted to see if I remembered it right. And what it was the story, you know, of course, The Godfather, the movie, had to leave out so much of the book.
Yes.
But Lucy Mancini, who was Sonny's mistress,
mm-hmm.
had that problem,
mm-hmm.
and met a doctor who solved that problem for her, and it changed her life.
Mm-hmm.
But this was in a book. How long ago was The Godfather?
72.
That was the movie.
This is not a new problem.
No. It was talked about in this book. And I said, I've read this someplace before.
Well, we'll go even further back than that. Yeah. There are devices called pessaries, which we use frequently. It's a non-surgical way of dealing with pelvic organ prolapse, one of the ways of dealing with it. And there are actually wood cuttings from the medieval times of women making twine and stick balls and actually placing them vaginally to hold things up. So pessaries have been around since medieval times. Not very comfortable ones, obviously.
I would think not.
But there's evidence of that.
Put a twig up your hoo-hoo. It's not something right. I would think.
But there are wood cuttings we have that are... these are pessaries. That's what they were making.
You know, we have... is this a type of... if you have to... I know it depends on the kind of surgery, but mm-hmm. if there is a prolapse, mm-hmm. what can a person experience then? And I've only got a couple minutes. After the surgery, and then it just automatically... I mean, it's fixed.
Well, that's one of the nice things about this kind of surgery. First of all, it's minimally invasive work. I don't do anything that involves large incisions or anything, nothing more than an overnight stay at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal there, of course, is to restore normal anatomy, not make you 18 again. This is not cosmetic surgery. It is covered by insurances, including Medicare and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the top 10 problems of women face in their healthcare issues in this country. So it's not something that's trivial. It's something that should be addressed, but also addressed kindly and minimally invasively. So most of my work, surgical work, is done either laparoscopically or with a surgical robot, or with mostly actually vaginal surgery, which is a real skill set of urogynecologists. We work through with mm-hmm. long instruments through small openings, and so that's that's what we do. We try to restore the normal anatomy, and most people are, you know, can go back to work in as little as 2 weeks. So it's
fixed.
The nice part about surgery is that what surgery fixes well is things you can look at and see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is your surgery center located where you work, or do you go into one of the major hospitals?
I go to one of the major hospitals.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, doctor, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for hanging on for this other 8 minutes that we had there, because there were a couple more questions when you talked, you know, during the break on
insurance.
Insurance.
That was a big deal.
Covered by insurance. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Richard Mooney from the Assurity Center for Continence and Pelvic Wellness here in town. After the break, Congressman LaMoffa will be calling us, and we're going to hear firsthand what happened from his point of view at the Capitol this week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rick Thomason. President Trump announcing he will not attend President-elect Biden's inauguration on January 20th. He will be the first incumbent president since Andrew Johnson to skip his successor's inauguration. In a tweet this morning, Mr. Trump saying, "To all of those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. The president is calling for healing and reconciliation. That's what he's urging as Joe Biden prepares to assume the highest office in the land. In a White House video, the president telling his supporters to take heart.
I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning."
The president also condemning the attack at the U.S. Capitol, vowing that justice will prevail. The U.S. has topped 4,000 daily deaths from the coronavirus for the very first time.
The tally by Johns Hopkins University shows the U.S. registered 4,085 deaths from COVID-19 infections Thursday. At the same time, nearly 275,000 new cases were confirmed. States being hit with the biggest surges and highest number of deaths include California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. The numbers are another reminder of the worsening situation following the holidays, as more people traveled and held family gatherings, along with spending more time indoors because of the winter cold. More than 365,000 Americans have now died from confirmed coronavirus infections since the pandemic began. Worldwide, the total is more than 1.9 million. I'm Ben Thomas.
And America's employers cut payrolls by 140,000 jobs last month as the pandemic drags on, taking a heavy toll on the economy. Wall Street, the Dow up 16 points, and the Nasdaq better by 96. More on these stories, townhall.com.
When was the last time you watched your home movies? If you're like most, there's a box in your closet of videotapes, film reels, and photos that don't get watched. Worse, they're degrading. Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Adam. 10 years ago, we started Legacy Box to help families convert their aging media to digital. Here's how it works. Fill Legacy Box with your camcorder tapes, film reels, and photos. We professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drives, or the cloud, ready to watch and share.
Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted home movie and photo digitizer. Over 450,000 families have used Legacy Box, and we've been featured on Good Morning America, Rachel Ray, and The Today Show.
Dust off those recorded moments and preserve your family's history so it can be easily passed down for generations. Experience peace of mind and enjoy reliving the glory days.
Order your Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/lbox for a limited time to get 40% off your order. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 40% off. Legacybox.com/lbox.
Another coronavirus-related lockdown is in effect in Israel. We get the latest from the Media Line's Felice Friedson.
Israel has entered its third coronavirus lockdown with new restrictions and tougher enforcement. Roadblocks dot the map, preventing intercity travel, while the public is being forbidden from moving more than 1/2 mile from home. Indoor groups are limited to 5, while outdoor assemblages are capped at 10. Commerce, except for food and medicine, has come to a halt, and schools are closed from kindergarten on up. Officials remain concerned by the sharp spiral of new corona cases, even as Israel leads the world, having vaccinated more than 17% of its population with at least a first shot. The program is proceeding so well that HMOs are pausing in order to assure adequate supplies for the second jab. I'm Felice Friedson, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
Breaking news and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. A book deal with Senator Josh Hawley has been canceled by the publisher in the wake of this week's Washington unrest.
The Missouri Republican called the decision by Simon & Schuster Orwellian, vowing to fight it in court. Hawley's a leading proponent of the election was stolen from President Trump in favor of Joe Biden. He's often been cited as a possible future presidential candidate, and his book, The Tyranny of Big Tech, was scheduled to come out in June and was an intended forum for a favorite theme, the undue power of Google, Facebook, and other internet giants. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Israel postponing the next hearing in Prime Minister Netanyahu's corruption trial because of the country's tightening coronavirus lockdown taking effect today. A Jerusalem district court says a hearing scheduled for Wednesday will be put off indefinitely because of the number of people required to attend in person. And on Wall Street, the Dow is up 11 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1468, your talk radio. Good morning. It is the 8th of January, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, your health, your choice. And Jared's in there running all the boards and taking the phone calls. And now it's time for...
Good morning, everybody.
Linda in the news, in the weather.
Hey, how are you on this Friday? The 8th. Yes, this is the 8th of January, 2021. And we're going to give you a little breakdown of the weather. Currently 44 degrees in the downtown studios. It looks like it's, you know, the asphalt from our studio in downtown Market Street is damp. So let's talk about what's going to happen today. Showers likely to mostly sunny with a high of 54 and overnight lows of 38. Tomorrow calls for mostly sunny with a high of 60 and overnight lows of 39. Sunday looks like mostly sunny with a high of 60 and overnight lows of 39. As we progress to Monday and Tuesday, partly sunny on Monday with a high of 62 and Tuesday slight chance of rain. So it looks like we may have scattered showers. We're just going to check it out, but it looks like it's going to be a kind of what we're seeing today with some sunny patches through the weekend. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas, Propane, locally owned, operated, senior, veteran discounts, locally owned. Great people. 365-2793.
And we're waiting for Congressman LaMalfa to give us a call here, and hopefully he hasn't been taken hostage someplace.
not funny. There's the phone
and
ringing.
The phone's ringing right now. So
now, wasn't that interesting?
You know what? I can't wait to hear from Congressman LaMalfa his take on this. I mean, he was right in the middle of this. And Congressman LaMalfa is on the line right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Well, thanks
you know
for
what?
Calling in.
You know what? 2021.
Trauma.
I was hoping... wasn't going to start off by saying, hold my beer and watch this. I may be wrong on that.
I remember at the end of 2019, because a bunch of things happened, so I can't wait for 2020. You're listing all the celebrities that died and this and that. And what is that? 2020, same thing. You know what? It's all relative.
It's all relative.
Orbits the sun, 365. And it all starts back in a reset. It's all arbitrary. So you have the Chinese New Year. If you want to start a new year, you can wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Kung Hoi Fat Choi. Where are you in Washington right now?
No, I flew out of there yesterday afternoon.
Okay. The Congressman, people are just waiting for you to tell us what you saw and what happened the other day.
Well, I was on the floor for the electoral vote count, you know, so the chamber hasn't really been allowed to be full ever since they've been playing this COVID game here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought, yeah, I'm not staying away for this. So there's a floor area and there's a cloakroom area, which you can move back and forth between, and inside the cloakroom, which is just a double door push away from the floor. You can watch it on TV and again, just be steps away from the floor itself. So, you know, it's back and forth a little bit, depending. And at a point there where Arizona was being debated, that was the first, I think, is it the third state in a row? That was the first one that had a senator as well as the House member bring it up. And so that's when the real debate engaged for the six states that were in dispute. So it was underway, as you know, probably many of you have watched and read about it too. So we got notice that the Capitol had been breached early on from the first floor. You know, I think from the east side is where they were coming in. And so that kind of shut down the debate, and we held in the room for a while to see how far this is going to go. And I went in the cloakroom for a moment here, then all of a sudden it started getting hairy, and we all started piling the chairs and the furniture on the doors that were in the cloakroom that would open up into a hallway.
Now, when you say that, Congressman, you say things started getting hairy. You mean loud noises, all, you know, screaming, yelling, and which at that point you said, this is a little more serious than we thought.
We were getting information that they were getting farther into the building, and it wasn't just a couple of them, but it was going to be a lot more serious than, you know, the occasional loon or two that gets into a committee hearing and things like that.
Right.
So,
right.
So started piling furniture up against the doors in there, and then they asked us all to be on the floor area there to so they can, you know, keep track of us and make sure our safety was as best as it could be. So after a few more minutes, there's the main two swinging doors in the center of the back of the room, or you might call it the front of the room, where, for example, when the president comes in from
right,
the State of the
right.
Union, they, mm-hmm. they announce them.
Everybody's,
you
know, familiar with that.
The president,
yep,
of the United States, that's the door that he would
right.
come in.
Uh-huh.
Well, they were at that door, and some of the other guys are piling up pretty large pieces of furniture against that door just before we heard the loud banging on that. So I think at that point they started moving us out. And as that was going on, someone yelled, "Shots fired," because there was a lot of banging going on there. And there's glass inlaid with the metal decor that would serve as a barrier, too. You know, like you see windows with bars on them.
Sure.
Well, these are pretty heavy bars that would back up the glass. And it's safety glass, I looked later at, that's in there. So we heard banging. They're saying shots fired. What I think in reviewing the video is that it was a rhythm more like somebody beating on the glass or the door, but you know, it could have been shots. So we'll verify it. But I don't know where the bullets would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying shots fired and urging us to get out of the room faster. So the herd kind of started moving more quickly out the doors that were the opposite end of the room, closer to the speaker's desk, was in the back area called the speaker's lobby. And then they moved us sort towards a set of stairs that goes down and takes you to the bowels of the Capitol and stuff. So, and a lot of that's on tape too. You see from the police video and such that it shows similarly. So they hustled us out and went to a different safe location that we held at for the rest of the time. So
did you ever
the
feel
bottom line it.
I'm
the
sorry.
Bottom line is, when the banging started on the back door, I think that's when people made the most nervous, and they were calling it shots fired because,
yeah,
you know, that would be, that shows it's pretty darn serious.
Yeah, but I mean, you're first of all, you're kind of trapped in an area, and there's shots being fired, and you're kind of like, it probably wasn't like you had 15 Marines standing at the door with with military gear.
No, not in that sense. There was at least four guys that were in plain clothes that had looked like, you know, Glock 22s or something. They were holding.
Yeah.
They were pointed right at that back.
Yeah,
door
I saw that. I saw that photo, and I thought, and I said, well, this is pretty serious.
Yeah, that's the door they were banging on there.
Right.
So, I don't think they ever had to take a shot in that position. We'll wait for the reports to come out. But I don't think it was actually ever was shots fired coming there. I think it did, as I mentioned, sounded like the rhythmic speed that you would have somebody banging on the glass.
Right.
And figuring out how they're going to gain entry, you know. So, so at that point, they pushed us a little faster to get out of the room. And I'm one of those. In this case, I pulled the phone out to try and record some of that there because I was standing there waiting in line anyway. So a little for history on this and recorded some of those scenes in there of piling the furniture and as they were telling us to move along. So I was towards the end of the line there, but I always felt pretty calm about it. And that, so if we just move orderly, it's not going to be a giant problem. So, and they did a great job, the Capitol Police and some of their plainclothes associates, really good job getting all that. So there's going to be criticism of that. I think, Pelosi and Schumer are out there trying to make hay with that right now. But, one person that got inside, a lady, did get shot, and she died of those wounds. So,
yeah, California resident.
I'm going to wait for a report on that to see what really happened there before I pass judgment on a law enforcement officer in that situation. You know, obviously you've got a level of chaos in a place that is to be spread pretty strongly defended. It's an institution of our government and our nation. So, anybody that's breaking in or doing that has to know that there's a certain level of fair game of what might happen. So,
well, we've said on the show so many times that, if you just obey, you probably are not going to be, in an incident where a policeman pulls you over, an incident like this, if you just listen to the policeman, you're probably not going to get shot. On the other hand, there's, I'm like you.
Especially with that much mayhem going on, Carl. If it's a one-on-one, there's probably a little more space. But with everything going on, and officers, I was watching a Vickers video of one officer trying to hold off the initial crowd. He was retreating the whole time, walking upstairs backwards and yelling at him, and hands on gun. But he couldn't allow himself to be swallowed up by that crowd because they could get his gun and who else knows what else going on. So he had to stay ahead of them and try and deter them until he had some more backup. And I think if there's a breakdown, this whole thing is that they didn't have. They didn't have the, right at the fingertips availability of, 2,000 National Guard within 5 minutes.
Right. They weren't staged there.
And so, if they could have been staged, who wants to see your Capitol surrounded by National Guard on a day we're doing a constitutional function?
Nobody does.
But that said, if they could have been staged, 2 miles away or something like that,
in a
place where it's not a bad visual or bad confidence in our form of government,
One of the things too, I think is part of this is that they've had Trump rallies there before. I mean, it's not the first one. There's been thousands and thousands of people, and there's never been a problem. There's never been something like this happen. And perhaps there was a certain sense of laissez-faire there. So, they're usually, they savor themselves, that, and then all of a sudden it surged. But they still should, you still should have plans on being able to shut down that Capitol door. Anyway.
Yeah.
They always had
good plans, and there's plenty of guys, M4, standing around there. But,
yeah.
You get to that point. Now, do you want guys with M4s using them?
Well,
so that's, you'd think like Kent State type things. But I don't know how many pro-Trump people were in town for rallies there. If you want to just put a number, 100,000, we'll run with that. But it only took 200 to 400 doing this to taint everybody else being peacefully and forcefully expressing themselves, you know. I mean, right. The plane ride home was full of Trump patriots. They, once we were up in the air and going along, closer to our destination, they started singing patriotic songs, you know, and that was pretty cool.
You're a representative, Congressman, so the question, you know, there's a couple things that in all of the news or many of the news outlets that or feeds that we're reading today is that the blame, of course, once again, is on Trump for inciting go wild. He's telling the people go wild. And so they're talking about impeaching Trump for him creating the mayhem in that moment. Now, wouldn't you say that that's mightily powerful, that somebody could incite by two words to incite a riot and have people? Now, what about the guy, the picture that came out today with the person, that I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, clothed, hooded, hand coverings, couldn't tell what they were, that left a pipe bomb in the Democratic office and the Republican office, or a office or an office, but in both locations. So would you say that was a Trump supporter that would be doing both offices?
I think we both know that there's people taking advantage of this situation that are anti-Americans, outside forces.
Yes.
You know, it's a cross-section, you know. I'm sure there's plenty from any group there that would be, you know. I mean, you hear talk of there's Antifa people dressing up with MAGA hats and Trump flags and all that, and those groups. You know, we watched them burn everything all summer long in a lot of these cities here, and we didn't see any reaction by Democrat mayors and Democrat leaders such as Pelosi. Then say, well, it's a peaceful protest. We saw ridiculous TV coverage of mostly peaceful as there's a giant fire burning in the background. And so not a lot got said about that and by these leaders that are now, you know. So that all said, that would be, you could construe that as partisan conversation. But every form of this mayhem is wrong and needs to be quelled and punished as strongly as possible. What would happen a couple of days ago in the Capitol, what happened in Seattle, Portland, Milwaukee, D.C. Remember D.C. 4 years ago during the inauguration when they broke out windows and burned businesses out there? And I don't know what the mayor's thought about that, but, you know, they don't say a whole lot when it's their side. So I hope they catch every single one of these that were beyond the peaceful protesting that was going on outside there and make an example of them. So, you know, because you have a Brian Sicknick, the officer, has died overnight, who suffered injuries there, and it caused a brain hemorrhage and such. And so we have one of our Capitol Police officers now gone from getting roughed up in this deal. So, including the lady there who was inside wrongly. Nobody wanted that to happen to her either. So I won't speculate. We'll wait for the report there, but who knows what happened in that crowded situation where the officers are trying to defend our government institution there. So.
The Trump legacy. I mean, you know, people hate to admit it, but Trump did a lot of things, positive things for this country. And I can speak from the veteran side. The things he did to help the veterans is just outstanding. But when this happens, and they said, "Is this the end of the Republican Party?" and all that, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, obviously we have a setback right now that is media-driven, internet-driven, Silicon Valley-driven, Democrat Party-driven, and outside forces that have been all about tearing down and ruining our American way of life anyway. So they all combine forces, whether they know each other or not, or do, to tear it down. So Trump is not going to get any help from press or historians for any time in the future. This will probably take years, you know, when people reflect on what happened to the economy, what happened with the defense of the nation, the defense of our borders, and you know, the thing he talked about on and worked on with, as you mentioned, the veterans, or even protection of people of faith, you know.
Yeah.
There's so much, so many in the media And on the left, they don't give a rip about that. They'll be right back in here making the little sisters of the poor provide abortion coverage for their employees just as soon as the inauguration happens here, right? So so a lot of that's going to get lost. A lot of that have to, you know, the people that make history are eclipsed by the people that write the history. And he's not going to get a fair shake on what good he did do for a long time. It has to be recorded somewhere. It might have to be kept in archives so it can be brought out, you know, in a 50 or 100 years, and made accurate. So we have to know what's right and wrong, and then, you know, unless they got some big tricks, you know, when between now and then, Congress has exhausted the responsibilities it has on the electoral. You know, what's amazing about that, Carl Wendt, is that there early on there was many allegations of misuse of the election process, corruption, you know. So lately here, just a few days ago, we got a letter finally from the Pennsylvania state senators that asked us to delay the counting of electoral votes. So, you know, January 6th is the, you know, carved in stone date that you do that. Well, okay, that's fine. Where were you all a month ago when instead you were certifying elections in your state, sending the electors in nice fancy oak boxes to D.C., elector, you know, votes? Where were you then instead of now? Why did you certify at that point? Well, we didn't have enough information, okay? And that's the problem with this. We're a slave to the deadlines. You know, each state has its Secretary of State certifies 30 days after the election date, and then a couple of weeks later on presidentials, they assemble for the Electoral College. The electors get together in their state capitals, and so each of these deadlines comes, and when it's an orderly situation, usually not a problem. Here, we were a slave to the deadlines at each level and said, well, we don't have anything. And what we saw with the courts was that people did not have standing or the technical ability to bring it forward. And that's frustrating. It seems like anybody with a good grievance and can show a reasonable connection to have an effect on them should at least get the preliminary conversation of this does have an effect on me. Like the Texas case, which so many on the left are angry with those that signed it, including me, and saying, you know, you should be taken in for sedition. Like, really, for joining a case that shows that there's been an effect on everybody by six states whose elections may have or may not have been flipped because of Dominion voting systems or you name whatever went wrong, you know. And there's hundreds of people with sworn affidavits that say, yes, there was funny business in Pennsylvania or Michigan or the other states in question. So where's the process to actually hear them? The courts say you don't have standing, can't hear it. Well, what does that do to the tens of millions of people that, you know, in some cases driven by false information being put out? How many videos have you had sent to you on Facebook by, you know, some guy you don't know who he is saying, they found this, they found that, you know? I get tons of them. Say, you got to watch this. This is the thing that's going to blow it all up right here. Well, I don't even know who the guy is that's saying that. But, you know, the latest right now, Carl and Linda, is that they believe that somehow an entity in Italy has affected how our votes are counted. So that'll be the big ace in the hole card here for the next week or so. I don't know. How do we get down to that? But if our investigative people here aren't willing to look at it, if the court won't do it, it kind of fell back to Congress to do a job here, because ultimately in the Constitution, Congress is the one that does oversee with the results of the states. You know, each of the states, sometimes after 1800, moving up to, I think, 1860, and they transition from their state legislatures picking choosing the electors to the Electoral College. I think Washington, both of his elections, was chosen by electors and appointed by Congress. Well, each state after that point assumed that we're going to have a popular vote in each state to elect the president, and that transitioned up, I think, until 1860. So that's a standard now. But ultimately, there's the oversight that's required in the Constitution of Congress to affirm that the states did their job correctly. And first of all, the state legislature has to affirm that. And they were all pretty much driven by, oh, we have this deadline, we got to get it done. Especially if you have Democrats in charge of the Secretary of State, the governor's office, they couldn't wait to get it done. And I think maybe some of their state legislatures that were even Republican majority were kind of cowed into that because they didn't know what to do. So a lot of pieces here that came together in this, what would you call it, perfect storm of things that, for those that believe have been ripped off in this election, have culminated in, you know, what happened on Wednesday. And then the procession that will happen to the 20th, because I don't see what's going to change at this point about Biden putting his hand on the Bible or whatever thing he might use to be sworn in on the 20th.
You know, I think that people don't realize is that it wasn't being asked to set the election aside. It was being asked to take 10 days to look at it and to see, make
sure. That's the hype of the media. That's the hype of the media saying,
right,
you're trying to take back the election. Like, no, you guys are all in on this. And Ted Cruz, I think, he had a really great plan he came out with a week or 10 days ago, whatever it was, to say, why don't we delay the January 6th action for 10 days while we sit down with a bipartisan commission, including 5 Supreme Court members, and read through all this stuff, because it hasn't been done by the courts, it hasn't been done. And there's more information coming lately each day, it seems, from hearings that are going on or information coming forward. And, you know, there's state legislatures. I think Arizona, one of them was a legislator interviewed there, said, I've seen this stuff coming out lately. I'm horrified that we certified them. So why can't we have that day in court inside Congress, who has a major role in this and ultimate responsibility?
Well, this is, you know,
it went nowhere. The plan
went
nowhere. And so that's really, I think a lot of people are, well, let me sum it up here. That the process that happened, you know, 2 states were contested, and what happened is that Republicans in the House, and I assume over in the Senate, I didn't get to watch it, there was a 2-hour debate there. Republicans had half. So basically Republicans had a full hour on Arizona and a full hour on Pennsylvania. Try and lay out the case. And the speeches I listened to, certainly if you just put your any bias you have aside and listen to Scott Perry from Pennsylvania and some others talking about what went on in Pennsylvania and all the questions that would be raised on that, a reasonable person would say, like, that isn't good. That in any other world or in any other situation, like, you know, we spent 4 years on Russia, for crying out loud, this would be investigated and debated and taken very seriously on the Pennsylvania election and probably the other 5. But this is a big bums rush to get to January 6th, to get to January 20th. Once they would be sworn in, I don't know how you'd go back if they find all the evidence in the world and say, oh, I guess we should invalidate this election or these 6 states and go back and do the math on the electoral votes to where Congress, the House of Representatives, comes back and recast those electoral votes, you know. So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is that there's tens of millions of people out there that are not satisfied with even the 2 hours of debate that would have happened on this, because it wasn't enough and an action couldn't have been taken to finish the job. When you have a major trial, a major situation like that, they have months worth of you know, discovery and gathering of evidence and putting together and testimony, you know, when you have it. How long does the O.J. Simpson trial take, you know? And that's trivial, obviously, compared to what we're talking about here. And so tens of millions of people are going to be completely dissatisfied with this, and they have a sick feeling in their stomach. And again, on the plane ride home, everybody seemed in reasonably good spirit, but they're also very determined. And this issue is probably not going to go away in their minds. I don't know what that means. I'm sad to see that it's being played out against Mike Pence, who I think conducted himself properly, with dignity.
Yeah, Pence did a good job.
Class.
Yeah.
And given, you know, and let me speak to that just for a moment here. People are believing, because you have, I think, hypers out there that are wanting to be on TV, that maybe some are going to, I don't know, get money sent to them, but from contributors that think that Mike Pence has all this power in order to send them back. Now, he may have been able to make a motion to send the electoral votes back to the particular states, but he was chairing that joint session of Congress. Now, when it comes down to actually doing that, in a normal session where the speaker or the speaker pro tem running the floor makes a parliamentary decision, that still has to be affirmed or can be contested if there's no, you know, if there's no objection, I suppose it could go through. But if there's an objection, then there's a vote by the House on the speaker's ruling, and that ruling can be overruled by a majority vote of the House. So does that same rule apply in this joint session of Congress when it's the VP and you have votes in there? I'm not completely sure about the legality of that, but I don't believe that the vice president has the power to simply send electors back to the states anytime he, or perhaps in 4 years, she sees fit to dispute the electors.
Nor should they have that power.
No, absolutely. That's dangerous,
that's,
man.
That's extremely dangerous.
If we get Kamala Harris and, you know, we manage to win it in 4 years, and she can just decide to send it back, and we just all sit there like lumps on a log in the House chamber.
No,
that's not right.
No,
so
that overturns.
Come to one man like that. There's a process. Yeah.
Congressman, we're just skipping all of our breaks here, but I
got to go make some money.
No. What I'm going to do is some live reads.
No, go ahead.
Are you sure? Okay. Because when we come back, I want to ask you a question that's been playing in my head here. This last election was an exercise of doing as many things wrong as we possibly could.
There's a particular type of show, I think you would call it, that has a barn.
Yes, it has a and it has to do with cows and anyway, male cows. Do you think and give a couple minutes to think, because we're going to do some commercials here. Is there going to be like a reform that says, okay, we're not going to run into this again? We're going to change how we vote at that national level so that people will show up, and it won't be this crazy mail thing. So that's kind of what I was, you know, thinking.
Well, I've already got four answers for you on that right
okay.
now.
Okay, so all right. So we're going to take a
break.
Okay, we're going to take a very quick break here, but this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. The PPP is coming out again, and they led the charge on helping people and businesses in our community. Community-oriented, community-owned, community-run. This is Cornerstone Community Bank. They are moving dreams forward during all of this. Everything that's going on, they do not lose their focus. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun, Riverview Golf and Country Club.
You win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
Why did you switch to Dish?
Everything was going okay with DirecTV,
but our bill was out of control. We saved $280.
$270.
$300. Like, holy
savings.
Hey guys, this is Doug Tooley with BNT Satellite, your authorized Dish retailer. We've been offering holy savings like these since 1999. Being local, we listen to your needs in the TV entertainment, and we give you the best that we can. At BNT Satellite, we've saved some of our customers $600 to $1,200 per year, and these prices are locked in for 2 years.
users. Skip the 800 number waiting on hold for long periods of time. Call 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. And if you already have DISH, call us and we'll help you find great ways to upgrade and save money in the years to come.
Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is 8:38 in the morning here on the 8th of January, 46 degrees out there.
Yes, and good morning. Yes, it's currently 46 degrees, and it looks like we're going to have showers and likely mostly sunny today with our high of 54 and overnight lows of 38. The weekend calls for 60 tomorrow, mostly sunny, and Sunday 60 again with mostly sunny.
Okay, we're here with Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and we've got a phone call. Henry, speak up. Speak up here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, be loud.
Okay, am I on?
Yes.
You're on now.
Okay, what I wanted to say was that we should put the blame on this whole thing where it belongs. First of all, the only election that we've ever had in this country in 250 years without fraud was George Washington. Since then, there's been some. At the Congress, well, the legislative branch, both federal and state, have kicked the can down the road, and they've done it again. Now it's time that the American people have an honest election. There are rules to follow. We have of age, you have citizenship, you have, in many cases, people, aliens voting, I should say, not aliens, what's the word they're using now?
Non-documented.
Non-documented voting right here in this county. Believe it or not, I know of one person who received four ballots, and I can prove it. I don't think that the fraud necessarily would overturn the election, but I think this should be stopped, and I think Congress and the judicial system should step in and do it.
And the congressman's going to address that, Henry, so thanks a lot for your
phone call, buddy.
That's
my thoughts for the day.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. He segued right into what we were talking about. So, Congressman,
perfect.
What can we
perfect.
Do? What can Congress do to ensure that we don't have this BS again?
Well, you know, constitutionally, the founders set up that the states, and I think the states demanded this at the beginning. You know, in order to form the union, there were some conditions in place. The small states didn't want to get run over by the big states, and so that's why I think a big part why the Senate was created, so there'd be equal representation in one house versus the popular, you know, population numbers that is in the House of Representatives. California has 55 and Wyoming has 3, right? One House member and 2 senators. So they put things in place to give states power. And that's what they demanded at the time. So states run their own elections. So election changes are going to be largely driven by state actions, not the federal government trying to impose them from top down. So the changes will most likely have to come from the states on cleaning this up. And we're sitting here in California and you're going, har, har, right? So, and the other liberal states have, done a lot of similar actions. So, let me sidebar for a minute on Pennsylvania, okay? Pennsylvania had a law they called Act 77, I think it was a constitutional law in their state, that set out the requirements of how elections would be conducted. And one of the things I can name quickly is that the ballots would all have to be turned in to an election official or department by 8 p.m. No more of this dribbling in through time, you know, postmarks and wait. I understood in California they're waiting up to 17 days after the election to let mail-in ballots still drift in. So Pennsylvania made that law, and they expected it to be upheld. Well, a court came in and overruled that law, said we're going to add extra days to the ballot to come in. And other things done by governors or secretaries of state just by the stroke of a pen or a ruling of a black robe. So I think we need to respect the state's abilities for their legislatures to do it, but it should always be done by a legislative action, not by just a fiat of a governor, a secretary of state, an election commission, or a court. And that's what the dispute was over the Texas lawsuit, where four of the states were brought, the suit was brought by the Texas Attorney General saying, we feel like the election process in this country has been harmed by those actions and possibly skewing those states because we believe the election could have turned out much differently. Now it starts to become appearance of partisanship with saying we think Trump would have got elected. You can't really emphasize that point. You have to emphasize that an injury was occurred. But they say they didn't file the suit right to the Supreme Court or that Texas doesn't have standing. Well, somebody must have standing with this sort of thing, and that's what we're trying to do by extending this process into Congress. So I'm getting yelled at by the left in you know, my office, and calls coming from in the district, out of the district, emails, whatever, saying you've done sedition by doing this. You should be removed. You know, this is for me, Doug, right? So I believe that the question needs to be asked, the conversation needs to be had. This is not overthrowing our government or overthrowing an election. This is an inquiry. And in true investigations by somebody, if the courts won't do it, if others have been too cowed to do it. So to answer the gentleman's question here, it really comes back to likely states having to do things to clean up their election laws. Now, I believe at the federal level, because that's constitutional, but the federal level, I think we can do more to have the standards with which federal elections are conducted and what standard we'll accept federally of how a Congress, a member of the House, a member of the Senate, or the presidency is done. If they want to have sloppy elections in these states, maybe we don't have to recognize the way they do votes. Because San Francisco, for example, I think he's alluding to, is that illegal immigrants can run for election on their school boards and some of their local citywide boards down there. So if they're sending ballots to illegal immigrants in San Francisco, are they being very careful to send them only on their local elections, or are they just sending the whole ballot and we have to somehow pick through that? You know that Alex Padilla, our state secretary of state, is not being particularly diligent on weeding all those out, you know, or the DMV, you know, sending out registrations to, or automatic, because they can automatically register you themselves at the DMV and take your signature off of other stuff and apply it if you don't tell them not to. So this has been a full court press by the left for years. So, you know, going back to when I was in the state senate, I served on the elections committee there, and the stuff they were bringing up and passing through, because sometimes I was the only Republican in the room in that committee versus the Dems, bringing up, debating, and passing the undermining of the integrity of our elections at the state level. So I have legislation, and my colleagues have other legislation, to say that we're not going to count, you know, my colleague from Texas, we're not going to count dead ballots, dead person's ballots, okay? Mine talks more about voter ID and other things that, you know, we introduced at the end of the last session, and we'll bring it up now. So we will do what we can federally. We're still trying to respect that, it's a state level issue, right, constitutionally. So, and that isn't probably a very very hopeful answer, because, you know, we as Californians know the corruption is going to continue with how they want to do elections in Sacramento. But I think for many people, I see saying out there, well, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to vote anymore, I'm just going to give up. Please do not adopt that. You know, let's go home, we'll mourn for a while, we'll lick our wounds, but we have to come back and do it, because they still have to come through us. Us casting those ballots is still an inconvenience for them, if you feel that cynical about it. They have to. It still requires them to cheat. It still requires them to do these things. And they will get caught, and there will be a reckoning sometime. So you have to vote even stronger than you ever did before. Yeah. I'm not saying this because I'm about my silly election, whatever. I'm just talking about the whole thing, you know.
We can't. You can't quit, because you took a shot to the head here, a punch to the nose. You just got to come back stronger. Let me change.
Well, Carl, this brings down yesterday, 2 days ago, Wednesday. You know, the break-in at the Capitol there. People.
Yeah.
Some of the members that were for doing the procedure we were doing, the constitutional defense that we were doing there starts saying, like, well, we probably should not do any more debates today. We should just get this done and go home. Are you kidding me? This was important enough to bring up. We had six letters that members could sign to bring the six states are being. I signed every single one of them, okay? And I voted yes to hold back the electors on Arizona and Pennsylvania when we finally did get those votes, because I thought that at least that extends the conversation and extends that we need to have, that I'm not satisfied with the level of investigation and what has been done here, that we need to continue to investigate behind the scenes, you know, whether Biden is sworn in or not. This can't be allowed to stop.
Well,
this is a terrible example, but they spent 4 years on the Russia nonsense.
Yeah.
With nothing, and we have something here. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Mr. Biden is going to be inaugurated. Mm-hmm. It appears that President Trump says he wants to make this transition as smooth as possible. What do you see happening in the first month of the Biden administration and then, you know, further out?
Well, I think with any new administration, I don't know how learn is maybe an odd word to apply right now, but there is a normal progression of a new administration with an opposing party coming in. They're going to try and change everything out. You know, we're going to see his lineup of cabinet members, oh my gosh, that are going to be put in place. And so they will formally start those appointments, and then the Senate will have a need to start reviewing those and confirm or not on those. They'll start with their executive orders on day one on all this stuff, you know, climate change and all that, the powers the president has to, or that the president believes they have on executive orders. They're going to start a slew of those, and we as citizens will see what those are going to do. And then in Congress, as we digest all that, we'll see if they're legal or not. And that'll be a big piece of that, is trying to hold accountable what they are trying to do by executive action. And when it comes to legislation, you know, you always have to remember, legislation is not proposed by the president. He'll propose an idea and ask the Senate or the House to take up a bill, but it's still up to the Senate and the House to put it into a bill form and give it a bill number and run through the process, the committees, and the floor votes of both houses and Senate to the president. And that's where things are different, you know. So it's one good little thing I'm hearing is that Democrat Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia is not going to vote to get rid of what they call the filibuster, or the cloture vote, which requires 60 votes to end debate and move a bill along in the Senate. So if that doesn't happen, then they still have the same hurdles we had for 4 years trying to get stuff through the Senate that the House has passed, or that they initiate to begin with, because they have to have that 60 vote to end debate. Now, if they get rid of that filibuster or cloture vote, then it's a simple majority, which is, as the results look like, you know, 50 to 50 after the debacle in Georgia where we lost those two seats there. Unbelievable. And then Kamala Harris, this is one of the most painful things I would have to say, is Kamala Harris would cast a tie-breaking vote in the United States Senate.
I think that's going to happen several times.
Oh, it will. It will. Now, you know, if a vacancy comes up in the Senate, that changes the dynamic there. You know, so I know this, the Republicans better have perfect attendance the next 2 years, every single one of them. And if somebody, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Congressman,
and if Romney or Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski decides to try to be smarter than everybody else in the room, or some kind of voice of, conscience or reason or whatever, then they're going to have, a lot of heat upon them. You know, Romney, we've seen lately trying to be that I'm cooler than you all guy lately, that, it's fine you all have your own opinions and stuff, but you need to play team ball, too. And right now, with our backs against the wall in this country for what we see coming down the pike and what these guys are going to inflict, you know, packing the courts, making two new states out of whole cloth because they want more Democrat senators to come from D.C., that's against the Constitution. They're going to try it. And we're going to blow that up in the courts. And if the court knew that what is complained in the Constitution, then what they're asking to have happen there is unmentionable.
Well, it's like many of the executive orders that Mr. Trump did, was that they were fought in the courts and overturned. Some were not overturned. Do you think let's go?
And as was many of Obama's too.
Yeah,
we had a Republican majority in the House, and we were able to at least 14 cases, or maybe more by the time it was over with, that were actions by Obama that went too far were overturned. And so I would like to believe Trump follows along with constitutional guidance on his, and those are just more political because they didn't want him to control the borders, and so they'd make up some crap about, you know, it's all discriminatory or this and that. And they'd get traction out of that depending on which court ruled on it until it finally got to maybe the Supremes, and then you don't know what John Roberts was going to do when it was a 5-4 with him. That guy, you know, he seems to be more protective of government and the establishment instead of peeling back. Like, when I personally got to ask Judge Scalia one time, why is it we have to look at precedent and what juries say instead of peeling back the onion down to where the Constitution is underneath all this again? You know, and that's what they should be doing on every case, not saying, you know, it seemed like Roberts was saying that, well, we don't want to have riots by ruling this way. Like, really? We had a riot in the Capitol there, and it was up to us to complete the work as we set out to do on the Electoral College, no matter how long it took to clean up the Capitol. And if we have to establish National Guard around the Capitol to do our business from now on, then we do it because we have a constitutional duty to do these things and get them done and not be cowed by riots and mobs. And so the mob breached the building and said, you know, cause for us to not finish. You know, we had colleagues of mine peeling off that were going to vote to support continuing to debate these states. And I thought, man, what do you think our job is here? You let a mob rule out your job, then maybe you shouldn't have the job, you know?
So, Congressman, one of the things that President-elect Biden has said is he's going to reach out and draw the country together. What do you think?
Well, you mean by impeaching the president in the last 13 days?
Well,
by calling us seditionists, him and Kamala and Pelosi and all them? Yeah, let's try again, buddy.
Well, but what do you think he I've got to ask this question. What do you think that he could do that could reach out and start drawing our country together?
Well, you know, they're going to put that's a really good question because they're going to put extreme people and extreme policies into place that take away our freedoms. So for all the sheep out there that love this stuff that want to be forced into driving electric cars and only, you know, living in a neighborhood that they can walk because they can't get the housing they want or their jobs are going to be exported because, by golly, we can't cut a tree or, you know, mine a rock or grow a grain of rice or cattle because they want us all to be chickens, then that's going to rub up against not just, you know, the politicals in D.C., but against the people themselves. So they're going to put some very extreme people in place with some very extreme rulings, right back into the Paris Accord. Well, look what happened. The U.S., just by doing what it's doing so far, is one of the only country, maybe a second one now, that has decreased its CO2 levels with the actions that are already underway. We don't need to be in Paris. And I'll cap that off by saying we don't need to fool around with CO2 levels. CO2 is only 0.04% of the entire atmosphere. 0.04, okay? It's not 10%, it's not 20%, not 50%, why some people believe, oh, you know, you ask them, hey, how much is the atmosphere of CO2? Average people think anywhere from 20 to 40%. No, it's not even one. It's not 0.4 of one. It's 0.04, okay? And so if we go below 0.025, we start having plant extinction at the level around the world, somewhere in there, 0.025. So that's being used just as the COVID virus is being used to usurp freedoms and to take away our abilities. And I think the gentleman, your caller there, and one of the things I want to talk about with what happened in the election, they used the virus as an excuse to mail ballots to everybody that's ever even breathed having been registered at an address. And that's why he was mentioning somebody got 4 ballots. I don't think that would be impossible. Maybe all of us know people who got 2 ballots. And what do you do with all those extra ballots? Who's getting a hold of those? You have states, you know, part of what's being disputed in those 6 states is that you didn't have to put signatures on anything you're sending back that you voted the ballot yourself. That you know, would then match that signature to something in a database that maybe was like California created by the DMV. You know, they put in place ways to break down the election integrity, and they did it intentionally. They used COVID for that because everybody was cowered into this virus and just thinking, well, I guess we better go with that. And so, at least in California, when the governor ruled that, our state legislature, as corrupt as they are in mass, they required that a legislative action happen to affirm that the that they could do mail-in ballots by mailing it to everybody. Mm-hmm. So, but those other states did not have a legislative action, as I mentioned earlier.
Hey, Congressman.
You can't do that constitutionally. Yes, sir.
We have to run.
It was wonderful for you to call in and take
is
your time. Yes,
yeah,
I know.
I know. Wait, you know what? Just let me know
intense.
When you can go 2 hours. But you know what? You have come up every month, and I know it's not easy. You've talked about being in the cloakroom and say, hey, Carl, take a break because I have to go vote. And then after we come back from the break, you're back. But I appreciate this.
We
and
do.
So many other people appreciate the fact that you come on once a month, the first Friday of each month, and you talk about what's happening and your insight of what happened during the the invasion of the rotundas of the Capitol buildings, you know, by somebody that was there, why you voted to hold up, you know, for 10 days so that it can be investigated, which I thought there was nothing wrong with that. It wasn't like you're overthrowing the election. You just wanted to know, well, were all the votes right? I mean, it's too important